You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, on the first segment, we break down the Mixed Discarude Instagram poem with some Def Cooligans poetry. Also, the MLS season is starting this Friday, March 3rd. Yeah. Portland Timbers against the Minnesota United. We're losing our goddamn mind.
Speaking of MLS season starting, we're talking to a great player. Juan Agudelo is on our podcast. We're going to be interviewing him. How pretty awesome is that? And in the third segment, guess also what's back?
Cooligans Corner is back.
That's right. That and more on this episode of the
Cooligans.
Hey guys, it's Juan Agudelo, New England Revolution's forward and U.S. Men's National Team forward, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hey y'all, thank you for tuning in to the Def Cooligans Poetry Slam. Coming to the stage, my man from Oslo, Norway. Keep it going, y'all. Put them hands together for Mix Discarude.
What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all? Somebody told me.
Oh, shit.
I'm not part of a plan.
Say what?
And if he was, he'd run like the others ran.
Oh.
Because the budget is tight.
Mm.
And bonding contracts might be broken to improve 5 or 6 positions.
What?
In exchange for only one man.
Do they snap on that poetry?
This has been Instagram Def Poetry.
this has been Def Poetry Slam Cooligans off Instagram with white players from Europe, from Scandinavian regions.
What's up, everybody?
Thank you for being a part of that, everybody. Oh, man.
Oh, I hope you enjoyed that little... Thank you. Thank you, Mix, for dropping by.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Beautiful poetry by Mix. He's got a lot more. He actually just punched a few holes in the wall on the way out here. He seems upset.
He's emotional.
Oh, yeah. First things first that you'll notice, besides the fact that we started reading poetry, you're not on the phone, and I'm not sick as fuck.
Look at that.
We're back, baby.
this place has finally been unquarantined.
Yes.
We've gotten all the diseases and toxins out of the room.
I wouldn't say that. You're probably going to be sick after this. But whatever. The funny thing is I barely remember recording that episode. That's how fucked up I was.
Yeah, a lot of people were getting really, really bad flus last week.
And it wasn't like a flu. It was like flu light, you know?
Flu light? Well, yeah, when you can't remember stuff, that's flu light? Wow.
Yeah, because it wasn't like flu usually lasts like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, it really beats up your body. I fell asleep for 36 hours.
Yeah.
How about this? I buzzed. We ordered Fresh Direct, and for those of you listening who don't know what that is, it's like a grocery delivery, right? So we ordered Fresh Direct, and my wife was like, hey, I'm really sorry, but I planned it, scheduled it to be delivered today. Are you okay, or should I cancel it? And I was like, I don't even remember what I said, but apparently she didn't cancel it, because I just literally could not physically get out of bed, and then I hear the doorbell ring. And I was like, oh, fuck it. Whatever the hell it is. I know I didn't order food. So fuck it. And I was just going to let it go. And then the doorbell keeps ringing. And then my phone rings. And I pick up my phone. And it was like a random New York number. So I thought maybe it's an emergency. So I was like, hello? And it's like, yeah, this is the Fresh Direct guy. Could you buzz open? Do you want your food? And we're like, I'm like, all right. Yeah, hold on. So I grab like 2 singles off the table. I buzz him in. It's 2 flights of stairs.
That's right.
I sat down at the table near my door. From the time it took him to walk up the 2 flights of stairs, I had already fallen back asleep at the table. The guy woke me up. The guy's like, hey, man, are you okay? He must have been like, this dude's on heroin.
Yeah.
This is like, the fattest heroin addict.
This is the first time I'm delivering Fresh Direct to a junkie.
Yeah. This guy's, where does he get all the money? Just the constant.
It's rare that heroin addicts need like organic kale.
Yeah. But you know, I'm not ordering no organic kale. But he was like, oh yeah, the shrimp cocktail makes sense now. You know?
Yeah.
It was just one of those things. I just couldn't get out of bed. But anyway, I'm better now.
Yeah, I'm glad you're better. So everybody, thank you for listening to the Cooligans. We have a hot show for you. This is a fun one. Obviously,
this is a big one.
It started off with a bang already.
Oh yeah.
So if you don't know, if this is your first time listening, my name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerreros.
Yes, and we are the Cooligans. We are two stand-up comedians who host a soccer podcast.
Because we are obsessed with soccer and obsessed with entertaining you.
Yeah. Yeah, those things, you know, go hand in hand for us.
For us, it does.
For a lot of people in soccer, the entertaining is not really that
important. That's not a big thing for them.
They just want to put them in the back of the net.
You're secondary. Secondary to them. But even some people who make content. You know, entertaining
sure.
you.
Sure, yeah.
Seems ancillary to them learning how to speak into a camera.
That's right. So, but look, we have a great episode today. Later, a wild one. We'll be speaking to Juan Agudelo of the New England Revolution.
That's right. We got a player interview.
So it's great. So, yeah, we're really, really excited about that. It's a lot of fun. He's a fun dude, and we had a great conversation. So, you're gonna love that. So,
yeah.
Let's address the thing that we just started with, because look, this is the big week. MLS,
this is it,
starting up again.
Everything going just to plan, and then this happens.
For
those of you who haven't followed, and this isn't NYCFC specific, because this is a national team player, or certainly at one point was. You know, he came into MLS with a lot of fanfare, and if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but the Portland Timbers were really, really mad that they didn't sign him, you know, and then they got Valeri, which is like, they're pretty good.
They got the better end of the bargain.
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, one of them plays, so yeah. And, you know, Mix Discarood, you know, a lot of fanfare, you know, American national, international, I should say, was playing out at Rosenborg. And you know, had a lot of skill, and it would have been great to have him in MLS. And he came in with a lot of buzz, man. There was a lot of heat,
a lot of attention. He was the first jersey that I bought.
Yeah,
he scored. I think did he score in the first game or the second game?
He scored the first away match. He scored the first goal ever for
NYCFC. So, but I liked the way he played. I was on board. I liked his personality. We got to meet him. He was a good dude.
It's great. Yeah, he autographed my hat.
Yeah, autographed mine. He's a good guy. So it was like, oh, this can be a good foundation and a good start. This is the kind of guy you sort of want around.
Right, and the cool thing was they weren't just bringing in your Villas and your Lampards. They were bringing in Mix Discarood. That's an American star. You know what I mean? Like they're bringing in one of our A, you know?
Exactly.
And then he showed up and not A at all.
he wasn't awful, but...
No, he wasn't bad, but he also didn't really have a position.
The bar was set very high with him. He obviously, mainly because of what he was getting paid. He was getting paid about $750,000.
Right, which they were using allocation money to pay down every year.
Yeah.
So, which really limits your ability just to go ahead and go out and sign, you know, players of a certain ilk. You know, if you use up all of your, you know, pay down the contract money for him, it stops you from being able to get people that are sort of bigger than the cap. And if you want any example of what that looks like, if you're doing a good job of it, it's Atlanta United this year.
Yeah.
They have signed some incredible players of top quality that, you know, Almiron was Arsenal wanted them. And, you know, here we go. You know, Atlanta United signed him. So, you know, it goes to show what you could do when you're given this allocation, TAM, GAM, AM.
Atlanta. Just very, very quick. Atlanta has been crushing people in the preseason.
Oh my God.
It's a little scary.
I'm excited to see. I know a lot of people kind of annoyed with them, and like, you know, they're coming in and the big highlight. I gotta be honest, I'm kind of excited to see what they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Tata Martino, just to see what he does.
Just seeing sort of that fan culture coming out of Atlanta and what that sort of looked like. We saw that in the first season of NYCFC.
Although, did you see the video of, because Footy Mob is one of the supporters groups.
Yeah.
Terminus Legion, I think, is their big one.
Okay.
And so like five of those guys got together and started a chant.
I did see
and
this.
And it has been panned all over the world. I mean, people everywhere are making fun of these guys.
It's not a very creative chant.
No, and it's just badly done. Mm-hmm. And it's five of them. One guy's wearing a hard hat. You know, it's a little rough.
Yeah, hard hat. I don't think, when I think of hard hat, I don't think Atlanta.
No, I think of Columbus Crew, because they used to have the three guys with the hard hats.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
I think of them. But yeah, Atlanta and construction doesn't really go hand in hand.
So, we were having fun with a poem that he put online. He put it on Instagram.
To his credit, he's been really quiet, and he really hasn't played for over a year. You know,
that's right. He played. He played in a friendly.
Yeah, he did. He came in.
It's not
Ecuador.
Not Ecuador. They were the Mexican team. They just played them. Necaxa.
Yeah.
He played. So, I mean, it's been about a year since he's played with NYCFC.
Yeah, although he did take part in one match this preseason.
Okay. So, look, once Patrick Vieira got in and had to assess the squad that he had, Mix just wasn't a part of the equation. It was very clear. I think he played maybe one or two games under Vieira.
Yeah.
Vieira was not happy. Not happy with him. And from the rumblings we have heard from other players is that Mix is not as much a team guy. I don't want to make this, you know, grand accusation, but I think he's a little bit more, I don't know if self-involved is the right word, but a little bit more about himself than probably Vieira would like.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot. I mean, look, him and Kyrie Shelton were like, you know, fucking bosom buddies when the season first began. The first season, those two haven't even posted together online. You know, it seems like he's completely out of the club, both on and off the pitch.
Yeah, no one.
But again, to his credit, he hasn't bitched about it in the media.
Yeah,
he's been, you know, sort of a loyal guy, and it sucks to not play the game you love for a year, you know. And I guess now this season's coming up, and the rumor was that he was going to get his contract bought out. He was going to get sold. And if I'm not mistaken, the MLS allows each club to buy out one of their players' contracts every year. You're allowed to buy one out, and it won't count against your cap.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that's what's going to happen to him, but it hasn't happened yet. And this season is beginning. So I guess his frustration, you know, I think he thought that's cool. Next year, I'm just going to be with another club. Things are going to be fine. And the fact that that hasn't happened has boiled over.
What do you think the holdup is? Is it maybe like the negotiation of what the buyout is?
I think it's his money. Yeah.
He probably just wants more.
Yeah. I mean, his agent knows you kind of got him by the balls. They got to pay.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then again, you know, you're doing it he's 26 years old. This is his peak season coming up. That's going to be delayed now. You know, maybe he saved his knees for another year, but you know, the guy wants to be out there playing.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, I want to be on stage telling jokes. You know what I mean? Like I want to be out doing it. I don't want to be on the sideline watching.
I mean, I would buy you out so you never do comedy again.
Well, I mean, you know, could you just imagine the sea of fans that would be like, please don't do it. But if you must, I guess we'll get over. You know, he wants to be doing it and he hasn't said anything, but then when he decides to talk, he does it in fucking rhyming fashion.
Yeah, it is. It's a poem.
Poem. I thought he dropped bars. I thought he dropped a diss. He was like, he heard Sheether.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, watch what we,
this is directed at Nicki Minaj, I think.
Yeah. This is Vether. This is directed directly at Vieira. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, unorthodox, to say the least. I've never heard of a professional athlete sort of sorting out his contract, kind of like doing contract negotiations, you know, through stanzas.
Yeah, through poetry. Which, by the way, you know, for everyone who said like, oh, he's from Norway, but how is he American? Now you have some evidence because there's no American player that would ever go to poetry.
Yeah, this is definitely some, you know, European education.
Right.
You know, this
you're allowed to feel this way. Mix.
Get yeah, well, I don't know what liberal high school you went to, liberal arts.
Yeah, right? I mean, come on. If you really from the U.S., if you from the East Coast and you tried that.
Yo, Mix's through was in a magnet program, I think. Yeah.
Some Montessori. See, right? It was in a Montessori school, yo. You don't learn that in PS 183. You didn't learn that.
You're a Waldorf school.
Right?
Playing with a bunch of blocks.
Yeah, Hogwarts, wherever you went. This ain't the shit you learn here.
So look, this is it's a weird, it's easy to make fun of, and this was very strange. But the reality of the situation is that he is a player that is he's in a bind, and he wants to play.
No one, whether you love him or hate him, you don't want to see him floundering.
Yeah, to some extent, I know there's part of me is like, yeah, he shouldn't be. Don't dog him like that. Like let him maybe earn some playing time. But look, it may be in training. He's really not giving. I don't know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, me neither.
But it must.
I honestly don't think it has anything to do with his skill level. And I don't think to some degree, I don't think it has anything to do with his sort of availability or what he is like as a sort of locker room guy.
Sure.
Or how he is in training. I honestly just think that Vieira's like, dude, you're making way too much for where you're at. You know, and for us, other clubs may be able to pay that and may see that potential.
Yeah.
May see that value. We don't see that value. We can't keep giving you this money. I don't understand not playing him at all because you're diminishing his value.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. Even if you don't think the guy is good.
That's what makes me feel like it's something severe.
Maybe you're right then. Maybe
like,
you're right.
It seems like something serious where it's like, maybe it's a character issue where
he walks in wearing a Roy Keane jersey for his day, which is Vieira's biggest rival in history.
But it feels like Vieira made up his mind very quickly. It seemed like maybe he saw something that other people didn't see and was like, maybe 2-3 weeks in, was like, this guy is, he's not for me. He's not going to work out. And Mix couldn't earn his sort of love again.
Well, if that's the case, then guess who should be the new men's national team manager? Then it should be fucking Vieira, because if he's that good at assessing a talent that was part of our national team,
wouldn't that be interesting?
Then, well, he should just be given the reins.
I've heard the rumblings, I don't know how serious it is, but the rumblings are because of sort of Arsene Wenger's situation that Vieira's name is coming up as a potential manager for Arsenal.
I've heard it, and I want nothing to do with it. I love Vieira. Here's the other thing. They're saying Henri.
Okay.
I can't think of a bigger mistake.
That doesn't sound like, yeah.
I think he sees Zidane coming in as a Real Madrid manager, and he's like, look how great it's going, and yeah, you know, yeah, he's furthered his legend. And then Henri coming in as an Arsenal man, you have a lot more to deal with. You know, Real Madrid, you pretty much have the biggest purse in all of sports. You know what I mean? You can go sign whoever you want. Arsenal, you ain't got that, homie. It's not going to be a smooth transition.
Correct. Back to Mix. I mean, look, it's read the poem on his Instagram if you haven't seen it yet. It's been going around, but it's just odd. And look, and it's fodder for us to sort of tease him. But
I feel for him.
Like I hope for the best, man. Like he's too good to not be on a team and to not be playing. At the very least, you can say that about him.
Also, if he's this good at rhyming, you know, just drop a track.
Yeah.
Right.
Just Mix has an EP out.
Right. Just a couple tracks. You know, I mean, keepy uppy, right? You know, could be the name of the whole thing. I don't know. If you've got this much time, do something with it. You know, I feel bad. I feel really bad. And I hope this gets worked out, because he's an exceptional talent, and he's someone that can not only help a club, but he can certainly help the national team. So get back to it, dude, you know, and figure out whatever it is. And, you know, maybe we should, you know, hit up his agent and be like, come on, man, get this thing done.
So, but look, there's other stuff going on. The MLS is obviously starting up. The first game of the 2017 season is this Friday, March 3rd at 9:30. The Portland Timbers open up the season against Minnesota United. So this is exciting.
I'm really up for this.
Yeah.
This season seems like it's where you and I are much more solidified in our sort of understanding of this league. Mm-hmm. You know, which always has rule changes. But I got to be honest, after going to MLS Cup, I feel like so much a part of this league.
Yeah, it does feel nice.
Yeah.
So look, I know. I'm speaking of enjoying this league. Join our fantasy league, because that's also,
yeah, we're giving away money that we do not have, guys. It's only
that's gonna be hot. So yeah, you know, prizes from Rough Night Scarves and On the Volley Apparel. It's great, and $100. So, but the for Portland against Minnesota, I think Portland's gonna take this easily. Minnesota is
new manager, right? They got Adrian Heath. I don't think their roster is completed yet. You know, they're,
I think it's just gonna be like cramming for a test.
Yeah,
dude, the day of, he's just like trying to sign people.
Well, remember Hull at the beginning of the season? Hull didn't have enough players to start.
Oh, that's right. That was a big issue. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they seem to be doing much better now after they fired their manager, which could have been an issue as to why, because, you know, in Europe, the manager is the one who picks the players.
Right.
But you know, so there's been instances where it's worked out. I don't think it's going to work out so great, because in MLS, you know, I guess chemistry is really, really important. And, you know, you've heard managers, even like Patrick Vieira, that they've brought in players throughout the preseason. And he said it's been a little frustrating because he hasn't been able to come up with what he thinks his starting 11 is. And maybe the beginning of the season isn't the most important in the MLS because of the playoff system. And so many teams make it. Maybe that's true. But if that's the case, maybe this match isn't the most important. But kicking the season off, I cannot wait. I can't wait to see Orlando's new stadium. I can't wait for all these things. I mean, the first match is is us against Orlando and NYCFC.
Yeah, so yeah, that's on Sunday. So I mean, the national games that are being televised is the Portland, Minnesota, then NYCFC at Orlando, and Atlanta United against the Red Bulls. So that's Atlanta United is really the one, especially this game is going to be interesting because I think the Red Bulls might be surprised by how good Atlanta United is, and also the Red Bulls are playing in their CONCACAF Champions League match on Thursday.
Yeah,
so
they don't have a lot of time.
They don't have a lot of time to really recover. So I think they might be.
Not only that, you want to add another layer to this.
Yeah, let's add several layers.
Here's this layer, which I think is probably the biggest. How about this? All of the Red Bulls fans, the original Red Bulls fans, are very upset, right, about the whole energy drink thing. And there was this rumor or this prevailing thought that the club is going to be sold by Red Bull. Right?
I feel like this also sounds like a mixed discord poem.
No. This is a mixed discord conspiracy theory poem. How about this? A lot of the fans think that the club was going to be sold or that Red Bull was going to pull back on their branding.
Okay.
And they were going to bring back Metro. Metro Stars.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember the Metro Stars jersey?
I do.
Which is?
The Atlanta United jersey.
That's right.
The exact same one.
So, Atlanta United snuck in this year and stole that color scheme.
Oh.
So Red Bull, if they do bring back Metro, can never bring back the red and black. It is now Atlanta United's jersey. So Atlanta United, I think they're wearing their white because that's their away kit. But if I'm not mistaken, Red Bull play in a white and red.
Yeah.
So they're going to probably be wearing the red and black for the first match. The Red Bull fans are going to have to sit there and stare at a club wearing the Metro Stars kit.
Yeah, yeah, I think it is very odd that the Atlanta United have the Metro Stars logo on there. They have the badge right on there,
right on the butt, which is not the place to put it, I don't think.
So it's just a slap in the face,
a complete slap in the face, in the face. I think this is going to be big for a lot of the Red Bull fans. They're going to be very upset that they're going to see a team with the color scheme that they hope and wish and prayed would come back.
We didn't talk about this last week, but I did mention the CONCACAF Champions League game. I did watch the one, the Red Bulls against Vancouver. They have the second leg that's this Thursday.
Right.
Sasha Kljestan missing another penalty.
That's his thing.
I tweeted out.
He misses opportunities to talk to us and he misses penalties.
It's both are equally ashamed.
I mean, you know, one may be more important than the other. I'll let you guys decide.
Yeah, but he's equally devastated for both. but it is, they tied 1-1. It was a goal by Kakuta Mane, and then Bradley Wright Phillips scored one as well.
Right. Kakuta Mane looks incredible, by the way.
This is a couple things happening here, because we got a couple tweets about it. People asking, why was no one at this Red Bull?
No one there.
There were so few people that it's. Look, I'm not a Red Bull supporter, but it is insulting, partly being a New Yorker. I know it's not, they're in New Jersey, but still.
You're using the name. You're making us look bad.
Literally, somebody tweeted at us and be like, yo, what's up with your mans?
Right? What's good with your boy? Yeah.
They're not showing up?
Yeah,
what's going on? I mean, there were so few people at a big game. And then, I'm watching the CONCACAF Champions League match the next day for the Mexican, two Mexican sides playing, and it's beyond sold out.
Yeah.
There's not a seat anywhere.
No, there's people watching, from buildings across the street.
These are big games, all right? And they're important.
This is the champion.
And they need some support. The fact that they're so, I mean, I understand if you can't feel the thing. I understand if you can't. There were people only
the supporters.
It looked like the Red Bulls had like a FIFA ban for racism or something.
So they wouldn't allow a couple of people snuck in.
That's really what it looked like. A real shame. It was very, very disappointing.
There were more people working the concession stands than there were people sitting in the audience.
I know that's a joke, but it feels real.
It feels right. Like, I know You said a joke, but like maybe it's because it's funny. Cause it's
I'm like,
true.
Now I gotta look up
average concession stand employees.
A stadium, how many right. capacity?
It's that beautiful mind image right yeah. now. It's all the then algorithms.
I started looking at the district and the population yeah. and how many people need work.
Think
and
about like, the last sentence.
What's the unemployment rate in that district?
What is the GDP? Actually, I need to look that up real quick
because yeah. it feels kind of accurate.
It feels like it's right.
But that was a really big shame. More people. I mean, look. I mean, we're the last people that have to tell Red Bull supporters to go to your damn games. Like, yeah, it's
and
crazy.
Then, you know, people are going to think this is us piling on the Red Bulls because the big rub against them a lot. You know, they obviously have a lot of success on the pitch. The big rub against them is the success in the stands, and they just don't have it. But this is beyond what we normally even make fun of you for.
Yeah,
this is next level. This is no one there, and it's CONCACAF. And here also, it's not against like some team you've never heard of from the second division of Honduran League.
Yeah,
this is Vancouver
Whitecaps. This is a good side. Yeah. I mean, another MLS club. Even at the very least, I can't imagine CONCACAF Champions League tickets can be that expensive. No. They can't even be more expensive than a regular MLS game.
Maybe it's because CONCACAF doesn't have a song like the Champions League song.
Oh yeah, you've mentioned this before. Oh, how does the Champions League song go?
This is a champion.
that's what it is. That's what's missing. That's the track.
Come on.
That's going to get all the Red Bull fans out to the Red Bull Arena.
Yeah, we got
to
go. Have you heard that track? It's pure fire. We got to come up with one. CONCACAF champions. No one is watching.
People go to look in Mexico. They're there. They're there. I mean, we have to at least
Guatemala. They're there. You know what I mean?
They like go to those games. Yeah, you know? Man. It was a bummer. So the second leg is coming up. Red Bull seem like they should. They should have easily won that match. Kleschen tried to do a Panenka. And it was just bad.
It's a Panonka. Oh, anyway,
it didn't look good. So, So
much like the joke that just bombed of mine. Anyway,
I mean, there's gonna stay tuned, guys. There'll be more.
Yeah, if you're keeping score.
But no, this is exciting. We were pumped about the season last season, but now I think we're really. Especially with the fantasy, with having gone to the MLS Cup, we're much more emotionally invested than we were before.
100%. We feel like we're a part of the league. We just haven't been invited to any of the meetings or anything, but we feel like we're a part of it.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We should go to our interview. Because
this is going to be big.
This is huge. So this is our first player interview on the podcast.
Yeah, and I will say that this also happened really organically. This isn't like, you know, back channel emailing. Yeah, our managers
talk to
or anything.
Your agent.
Right.
It's
none
just,
of that.
It's just like, yo, hit me up.
What up?
I'm free when yeah. this time.
What it do? And it was really organic. And I got to say, like, you know, we met Juan Agudelo at MLS Cup. And we weren't sure if we should bother him or not. You know, yeah. he was just sitting
with
there.
With almost any player, you sort of sense that.
Right. And like, and he was cool. Sasha Kleschen was like, you should not have bothered me.
Let's just clear this up. So yeah. I didn't necessarily feel like he didn't want us there. Like, he didn't want us to talk to him.
100%.
I mean,
could not, not have been.
Not 100%.
No, I'm telling you. For me, you may be at like 30. I'm at 100.
This is what I felt more. I felt more like Sasha Kleschen did not want to be there at all.
Regardless.
Yeah.
He, you know, when someone goes, oh, guys, this is my friend. I haven't seen him in a while. Go away. That lets you know, like, that as soon as we walked away, he said to that dude, hey, I don't know who you are, but thanks for saving me. I'm telling you.
You think he said that? Okay. That's,
100%.
That's fine.
Look, mad attitude. Yeah. And everyone else. Like, can I say that overwhelmingly, everyone was like a sweetheart, dude. Even like guys that everyone thinks is a jerk, like Alexi Lalas. He was like,
everyone was very nice to us.
Yeah,
he
couldn't.
Sasha Kleschen was the only one who was a little sour, I would say.
Yeah.
But I sense, and you know, we had asked him about this, but, and it really felt like, being at MLS Cup party when you're not part of the MLS Cup is, you know, you feel a little weird.
Juan was cool.
Sean
Johnson was cool.
Yeah.
CJ Sapong seemed like he was having a good time.
Look, but there's different, this is how I attribute it. Like, you think of Kobe Bryant, right? Kobe Bryant is an unbelievable competitor.
Are you about to compare Kobe Bryant to Sasha Kleschen?
I'm comparing maybe their competitive spirit. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan they didn't want any part of anything unless they were at the finals. You know how a lot of players they don't watch the Super Bowl.
I'm going to let you go with this until see what happens.
But I think
far I'm like, what the fuck are you talking?
But I think with Sasha, I think that it was that. I think he just didn't really 100% want to be there. And he had such a competitive spirit that he's like, I'm not a part of the game.
Then he would have treated everyone that way, not just us.
I can't say how he treated everyone.
You can, because we have a variable, which is we saw him interact with someone after us.
But someone he knew.
Sure. That guy came over fanboy.
Look, maybe he's not like a really good with like new people. Look, whatever. I'm not going to.
Why you got so many excuses for this guy? You going to write poetry about him? Is that what you're going to do? Hit up Mix.
Let me get my anthology of Sasha Question poems.
Hit up Mix. He'll teach you how to.
I just don't think he hated us. That's all.
No, I don't think he hated us either. I think he gave us, he kind of gave us an attitude. As far as I'm concerned, you're on the enemy board, Sasha Kleshin and that dumbass mustache is on it now.
All right, you're put on notice, Sasha Kleshin. Until you get
as far as Cooligan is concerned, because I'm saying this for both of us, whether you like it or not, not a fan. You're not a friend of the podcast.
Okay,
Juan Agudelo, however,
completely different. Yeah, he's gonna get a bust.
Sure. That dude is absolutely cool. And how about this? We got a chance to not only talk to him and meet him at MLS Cup, but we gave him the opportunity to come on the podcast, and he jumped at that opportunity. And it's absolutely amazing. Took us a while to get it scheduled. We didn't want to bother him while he was at the January camp and whatnot. But he's back. He's back with his team. His team's about to start. A New England Revolution are about to start playing.
Yeah, they play on Sunday against Colorado Rapids.
So, I mean, he's got a lot of fun things to say. He's a fun dude. Listen to this episode. Listen to this next segment. It's going to be our interview with Juan Agudelo. So we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to that first segment. We got the second segment coming right up. First, we just wanted to break in real quick and ask you to do us a huge favor.
Yeah, all we want you to do is just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is that's the big look. We work very hard on this podcast. We're also making a very concerted effort to put out some more video content for you guys, and we want to get some people watching those videos as well.
Yeah, I mean, right now you got about like 30 more seconds before the second segment comes up. So I beg you, if you're on your phone, you can do other stuff while you're listening to this podcast. Why don't you click on YouTube, the YouTube app? Why don't you put in Soccer Cooligans and just hit that subscribe button? And if you can, hit that little bell, that notification, let you know every time we put up a video. We're working really hard to give you guys at least one video a week. We have a video right now that's called FIFA the News, that we're playing FIFA, and we're having that predict the biggest match, and we're talking about a lot of stuff that's happening on the news in the video, and there's a lot of cool editing that's involved. It takes a long time, but it's really, really funny.
Exactly. So look, we're doing a lot of work. We want just a little bit of validation, just a little bit.
Is that hard? That's hard. Come on.
We're just two little comedians. Yeah. Want a little like?
Too poor. I would like some more, please. Some more followers and subscribers on our YouTube. So if you can, hit the like button, comment on some of the videos if you can. At the very minimum, hit the subscribe and maybe even share it with your friends. It would be absolutely amazing. Yeah, everybody, what's up?
All right, we're back, and
we teased this, we talked about this, we didn't think it was gonna happen.
It's because nothing good ever happens to us.
No, not at all. All of a sudden we get mad emo. What are we, mixed discaroon? Anyway, we writing poetry, me and you?
Oh, we gotta get into that later.
We're gonna talk about that. We might have talked about it in the last segment, but this segment, this is a big moment for us, man. This is someone that we're really happy that we're getting a chance to talk to. Not only is he a national team player, not only is he an incredible talent for the MLS, not only is he Latino, which means a lot to both of us, but also he's calling us right now from this insane German whip. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving and like he is, put your hands together for the one, the only New England Revolution starting forward, Juan Agudelo, everybody.
Juan, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
There he is. I swear to God, this is not our cousin. This really is Juan Agudelo.
That's right. I mean, he sounds like all of our cousins, but...
100%. Unless he's like, dime lo. Well, you grew up in Jersey. There it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's authentic. Now everybody knows. Oh, these guys are legit. Yeah.
I know, right? We should just do this whole thing in Spanish. Really fuck with all the white people that listen to us. Be like, is it really him? So you grew up a little bit in Colombia, just to give a little people a bit of background. You were born in Colombia, but when did you come to Jersey? Because you grew up in Jersey.
Yes. So I was born in Manizales, Colombia. I grew up in Cali. And then I moved to New Jersey when I was 8 years old.
Like most Colombians. That's like, that's standard. Yeah. Yeah.
The retirement. You retired in New Jersey at 8.
Yeah. Sorry for being original. Sorry.
So yeah. you moved to Jersey. Were you living in South Jersey, North Jersey? Were you like in Patterson or whatever?
I was living in South Jersey, but then I moved up close to Patterson because that's where all the Colombians migrate to. Yes.
That's why I asked. Correct. Yeah. I mean, that's your homeland.
You smell the arepa and you got to go right towards
yeah,
it.
Right? You're like New Cali, which is also known as Passaic, New Jersey. So obviously soccer is a part of your family, right? Like that's something that like your older brothers or something, or maybe cousins played, or your parents?
Yeah, nah, definitely. My dad, he still plays. He played in Division 5 in Colombia.
Okay.
No, nah. Don't laugh.
All right.
I'm laughing because there isn't a Division 5.
Oh, I was going to say, he played for Millonarios like D.
Yeah, nah, like deep not. Nah. But yeah, my dad played, and everyone watching El Pibe play on TV, it made me want to be one of those guys, you know, representing, you know, their country on TV.
Which you ended up doing for the men's national team here in the U.S., which was, I think you're the youngest person to score for the senior side. Is that true? Or the second youngest? Because I think Pulisic, right?
Yeah, Pulisic just broke the record. That guy, that German guy, just broke it about, I think it was like a year ago. Not sure, but yeah.
Maybe a little less.
Do you remind him of that? Does he remind you?
You text him like, yo, fam, you couldn't wait a couple months?
Yeah, like, that's what I was saying. Just like 2 more months, I said. I told him, I said, you can wait 2 more months?
I know, you get all that dormant money. You couldn't just like hang out and sit on a hammock?
Come on.
I know, right?
They're going to forget about me. That's what I said. They're going to forget about me now.
But dude, you just got back in the national team. How's that feel, man?
No, really good. Bruce is a cool dude, man. He's a cool dude. I had a lot of fun in camp.
Wait, you never played with him, right? This is your first time having Bruce as a coach, right?
I've always kicked the players that he coached, never actually played with him. But yeah, he's a cool dude. He's actually really, really nice, chill coach.
Why would you say it's the biggest difference between him and Jurgen at the moment?
Besides the fact that he has a job and Jurgen doesn't.
Biggest difference would be Jurgen sort of expressed how he wanted you to play. Bruce is sort of, you know what to do. This is the small few things I would like you to do in the game, but at the end of the day, you're your own player, so just do you. So, yeah, that's what I would say the biggest difference is.
Is that better for you? You think that's easier, or would you rather have? Because I know there was like, you know, there was all this talk, and you don't have to confirm it or whatever, but there was a lot of this talk about like the players not really sort of digging what Jurgen was doing. Is it easier when someone says like, go out there, you know, maybe find the space, here's like ABC that I want you to do, but go out there and be yourself? Or is it easier when someone straight up says, here's A through Z, what I want you to do?
Yeah, just very few directions. I think as a player, you just take it in and you're not sort of, how do you say, like congested in the head of, oh, I got to do this, that. If you just take a couple directive, you know, orders, then you don't think about it too much. And you can still do you on the field.
That's kind of similar.
Bruce is like he sounds like a yoga teacher. You know, he's
like, everybody hang out. You know, everyone just be chill. Although he's Matt Brooklyn. He's like, everybody, I got all of you a chicken palm sandwich. So, you know, if you win, you get to eat the chicken palm. If not, you don't get it. He's probably easier to understand.
He actually said that before the Jamaica game. How did you know that?
How did I know? I was there, dude. I'm actually his deli spirit coach. I don't know if you know that. I'm his deli consultant. Although he mad LA now. He probably is doing yoga, even with the belly, which I respect as a big dude.
Well, now the MLS season is about to begin. You know, we're absolutely stoked. We're excited. It's the Revolution are going to be, they're playing at Colorado. So how do you feel about this season? How's training? How's this week? What's the week before the MLS season begins? What is that even like for an MLS player?
Well, it's like, it's a lot of excitement because you're ready to get going. You're ready to get the season going. And I like our odds this year. I think we're dangerous in a lot of areas, which is good if we want to, you know, float it up to the big man Kai up there to get score some headers. We could do that. And if they're sitting back, we could just play underneath. And we have the players like, you know, Lee, Diego, and Kellen and Teal that, you know, can create some give and goes underneath if the aerial threat is what they're defending. And when we are doing our give and goes, we can just float it up there. So I like our threats offensively, and defensively we'll sort it out and then take it from there.
Is the plan for you, Kai, and Fagundes to be on the pitch at the same time?
I don't know the plan. I'm not the coach, but we'll see.
Because that's insane. I mean, that's like firepower. Yo, that's, yeah. Lee Wynn's got a lot of options. You know,
yeah.
Some would say too many if you look at his hair, but like, I mean, just on the pitch though, the guy's got a lot of places he can send them passes to. That's why. Let me ask you about this. Cause like when you started, I wouldn't say you were lanky, but you're sort of much like a bigger upper body strength dude. Now, I think on Instagram, you got this thing where you're doing pull-ups with chains on you, like you filming an LL Cool J video in the '90s.
That was my necklace.
That's your necklace? I didn't know you were. What are you? You shopping at the DMX yard sale? You got just this big ass 80-pound chain around your neck. I didn't know you were stunting like that out in Boston. But let me ask you a question. Like, what is it? What's your? Because it seems like you're much more of a back to goal kind of a traditional center forward, maybe in the vein of like a Giroux or like an Altidor, where you're comfortable playing with your back to the goal. Maybe you know, drop the pass off to your midfielders, and then you turn around. Are you, you know, trying to be more of a poacher? I feel like when you started, you were much more, you know, sort of facing a defender, attacking a defender. Then again, you were playing with, you know, different forwards. You were playing with guys like Henri, and there was the bald British dude. I can't remember his name. Rogers, I think. That crazy motherfucker. He one time just kicked a ball at a girl in a wheelchair.
Whoa.
During a game.
Not intentionally. There's no
I'm
way.
I'm not sure. He was kind of an angry dude. He's not allowed back in the country because he fought somebody. Anyway, so not to talk about Rogers, but you had different players around you. Like, what do you think your style of, I guess, being a forward is?
I would say I do like being close to the goal and you know, doing the things that you said, holding the ball up and things like that. But there's times in the game where you feel out of the game because you're not, you know, touching the ball as much. So if I could just drop in a little bit more and get some touches on the ball, get some, you know, passes in and things like that, it kind of integrates me into the game more. And yeah, I feel like I'm pretty good with my feet and I can, you know, create assists, not just score goals, you know? So
just tell everybody, tell all the midfielders, get me the rock.
Yeah, that's, man.
It. Just give me the rock, and I'll make something happen.
We should create a new word for it. You know, pass me the arepa.
Yeah, that's it.
And let me put some sauce on it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I feel like no one's going to call. Go ahead.
Pass me the buñuelo. I'll put some grease on it.
There it is. Pass me the buñuelo. Let me put some grease on it. And you know everyone's not going to say nothing because they're afraid of being racist.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not going to say anything.
But Juan, let him say what he wants. You know.
Lee's like, look, I'm confused as you guys are, but Juan's coming to the meeting. Everybody remember the enye on the top of the end. You know?
Well, now that obviously the Revolution very closely tied to the New England Patriots, what was your take on the Super Bowl, on the pressure? The Patriots just won.
Did they invite y'all to the parties? I hope they invited y'all to the parties because Robert Kraft, right?
We were in preseason, but damn. Even if we weren't, I don't know if we would have gotten invited.
Really?
But that's insulting. Yeah.
Robert Kraft, somebody got to get Robert Kraft some new Air Force Ones. From the New England Revolution. So he remembers that he owns y'all.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. What is your goal for this season? Like, not just as a club, like individually, like, are you looking to rack up the assists this season? Like, are you looking at like, what, 20 goals? Like, you know, something small?
My goal is, I think, as long as everyone on the team plays well, we're going to get far and we're all going to look good. Personally, I would love to make the All-Star team, but I mean, I know how high that goal is, but then again, I set a goal to win an R8 and I did win an R8.
Look at that. So,
you need to put a picture of you. playing in the All-Star game.
In the RA? In the RA.
Just we should have the RA just doing donuts. And if the rumor that you guys are, that the All-Star game is going to be against Real Madrid is true, you know Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be like, I don't know what this RH is doing out here, yeah. But I think I'm faster than it. I think I'm faster than this thing.
He'll bring out his Bugatti or something.
Yeah, right? He brings out a Veyron with Lil Wayne in the passenger seat. And we're like, is this even a match anymore?
Like, just outdid me, yeah.
Well, I feel like that's a very...
modest?
Not even the modest, but accomplishable goal.
Yeah, you know? I can see that. And we could lead the charge. Is it by vote? Is the MLS All-Star game by vote?
Yeah, I believe so. Part of it is by vote, and some get included into it.
Like the reserves are picked by the coach, right? I think so. Why don't we do this? We're gonna start a voting, a whole voting campaign.
Yeah, to get Juan Agudelo.
Campaign. Get Agudelo in the All-Star game.
There'll be some charisma in the All-Star game, so just start it up.
Yeah, well, finally. That'll be nice. A little bit of character.
Yeah, as opposed to just like aged Europeans and a bunch of quiet guys from America. Even the dude with the dreads, man. I thought he'd come out and he'd be like, what's his name, Beckerman? I wanted him, first time I saw an interview with him, I wanted him to be like, Wagwan. You know? I just wanted him to like really buy into the whole thing. And he was just like, hey, what's up? I'm Kyle. I'm like, damn it, man. Imagine he was like, everything Irie in Salt Lake.
Irie.
Yeah. It's like my mom, them. Anyway, so you've obviously got the goal set for this year. You think the club is looking good. Outside of your club, and I know you guys pay attention to some of the other clubs, we got Atlanta United coming in. They're dropping tons of money on these players. They're bringing in some amazing players. What is, other than the New England Revolution, what's one of the other clubs that you got your eye on that you're like, yo, they could do a lot of damage? Is it NYCFC? You know we're both NYCFC fans. Is it Red Bull, your old club? Anyone at all? Who do you got your eye on that you like, yo, I think they could do some damage this year?
Yeah, I think, like you said, I'm not just saying this because you said it, but Atlanta, I think I saw them in preseason and they looked pretty sharp. And not only they're starting 11, they have a couple subs that can come in and make a difference. But NYFC too, I mean, they're definitely better than last year with the guys they added onto the team. I was hanging out with some of them in Arizona, and yeah, they're cool. And what other team? I think Dallas. Dallas is always a threat.
Yo, they're always, right? Their academy is like bar none at this point, man. They just keep bringing up these kids, and they're all like mad skilled.
Yeah, I don't know where they get these kids from, man.
Right? I'm trafficking, know. Yo. I think they're bringing these kids in. They get the speedboat from the Caribbean and shit.
Yeah, FC Dallas is the first team. Like, they're telling like Trump, like, don't build the wall. We can't. We don't need any more. No,
you know, they're like, go ahead, build the wall. We'll find a way. We always do. They got tunnels. They got Ed Chapo as their head of recruitment. These kid's really good. And also, why do they have teardrop tattoos?
Yeah. Chapo might be part owner.
That'd be hilarious. Yo, Chapo was wearing a Yeezy season 2 shirt when he got arrested the last time. Imagine he's just wearing like Advocare on his chest. He's got an FC Dallas kit. And he's like, yo, before I go, just really good luck. We hope Fabian Castillo comes back. He's like, he got a lot of info.
Catch him in the suite, just chilling.
Right? You mean his jail cell? The penthouse jail cell he's in right now? I guess out of everyone in the league, including players that you play with, who would you say is like the coolest dude in the whole league? Obviously, besides yourself, you know. And also, you have to remember, we're not in the league. You probably want to say us.
That's right.
But other than us and yourself, who's the coolest dude? Like, who's got like the best personality in the league? Like, who would you actually want to hang out with? After a match.
After a match. That's a tough one. That's I like people that interview and ask strange questions, but I like this.
Well, then that's there you tough. Go. Then that's us.
Javinko is a cool dude, and he's definitely going to pick up the tab, so I'll definitely roll with Javinko after the game.
That's enough right there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I figured it'd be someone crazy, like although Di Rosario's not in the league anymore, but I heard he's insane.
Diro kind of runs Toronto. He runs Toronto, so maybe him is. Yeah, if I were to go with like a alumni, it would be Di Rosario.
There you go. See, we were really close to. I know he threw a party after MLS Cup. We were really close to going, but we were so exhausted that by the time we like figured out if we were going to go or not, we didn't go. But Ethan White, who was there taking pictures, the NYCFC defender, was like, yo, are you guys going to T Rose party? And we're like, yeah. It's like the first time we heard about it. Like, of course you are. Of course we got invited.
Of course we were invited. Yeah. We have the invitation is, we got the email.
Yeah, we got the box. He sent us a box. It was cool, you know, with the pamphlet. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I gotta go.
The one thing I did want to ask, what's now that Kai's been there, you know, for a little while longer, you guys got to share a preseason together. What's that relationship like now? Not only on the pitch, but you know, off the field as well.
Has he ingratiated himself?
Yeah, nah, Kai's a cool dude. He might be misled sometimes because, you know, he's a striker and he wants to score goals, but he's a cool dude. I get along with him. A bunch of the guys on the team, you know, welcome him in, and yeah, he's a cool dude and he's good to have because he's a veteran and he knows what's up.
How much attention did you pay to like the stories before he got there and like why he was traded? Like, do players pay attention to that like noise before a player arrives there? Like, do they have some preconceived notions of the player that the club just signed?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we talked about it in the locker room before he came in, but it kind of just washed away pretty quickly when, like, the first 2 days, everyone realized, you know, this guy means well. He's a cool dude. I mean, everybody wants a good first impression, and he stuck with it. And for the next month, he was cool, and everybody got along.
You know, he's also from like Sierra Leone. Like, you don't want to fuck with the dude. He's seen some shit, you know? Nah. Everybody's nice to him.
Yeah.
Be like, you know, just everyone, what? Make sure your diamonds are straight. When yeah. Kai come around, he might have a cousin.
On the third day, he got comfortable and brought his spear and he put in the locker. Oh, shit.
Just like a little warning. Yeah.
There's a shield and a spear. Yeah, everyone remember, Kai, don't fuck around. So, dude, man, you've been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, we met you at the MLS Cup party, and we walked up to you. You were incredibly kind to us. Thank you.
Yeah, you actually talked to us. Which is way more than Sasha Kleshchen did. You know, unless you count rolling eyes at us, that conversation, in which case he is a bit of a talker then. But, you know, you were mad cool. You know, usually we're comfortable talking to people with cornrows. And, you know, you were just sitting there quietly by yourself, and you were mad cool. So thank you so much for coming on our podcast, man. We'd love to have you back. In fact, we're planning to go up to Boston this year to catch a match. So we'd love to meet up with you, maybe even do an event or something. But is there anything you want the fans to know? Anywhere you want them to follow you? Well, which one of your social media are you really most active on?
Yeah, Instagram. I gotta get my Instagram followers up. Twitter is up, so don't worry about Twitter. Probably Juan Agudelo. Instagram at Juan Agudelo.
With the Hua in there.
He's
not
Juan.
Yeah, you're not Americanizing it for them. It's not Juan Agudelo, it's Juan. Well, dude, thank you so much. You know, if we're going to try to get all the fans to vote for you for MLS All-Star.
That's right.
Not that you're going to need us. That's because I'm telling you, you're going to be out there scoring crazy goals.
You're going to put up the numbers to earn every vote.
The next thing we need to do is, do you have a goal dance, actually, before we let you go? Do you have a goal dance?
A goal dance?
Yeah, do you have a goal celebration?
Goal celebration. Nah. Sometimes if it's a nice goal, I'll dance a little salsa, but...
You throw a little.
That's pretty much it.
A little bit of cruise.
Yeah, some Cali pachangueo. It's perfect.
We got to give you one. We'll think of something. We'll think of something, and then we'll see if we can get you to do it after you score your first goal, man.
Yeah, don't give me a yellow card, but yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell you to twerk.
No, yeah, we know
I got that covered. So yeah, thank you so much for spending the time with us, man.
Hey, man, it was a pleasure. It's fun. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Quick break here. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about On the Volley Apparel. You've heard it so many times. Some of you actually went out and bought some of the gear. It's absolutely incredible. Once again, my favorite hoodie I've ever had in my entire life.
Great gear. They make great stuff.
Absolutely. Big fan of the podcast as well.
Yeah, it's they make soccer-inspired clothing. Look, if you've heard us talk about it before. You've seen us wearing some of the clothing on our videos.
Yeah, we're always wearing it on the videos.
It's great stuff. It's urban-inspired. It is hip hop.
It's a little hood. It's a little soccer, but it's all dope. Super high quality, very comfortable, and not very expensive. And it's even less expensive because you listen to us.
Exactly. So if you use the promo code COOLIGANS, you'll receive 30% off. That's
incredible.
That's a hot deal.
Come on now.
Hot deal. So make sure you use the promo code COOLAGAINS. Look, they right before the MLS season, there's a lot of new apparel, you know, coming out.
Sure.
So you can check it out there.
And they got a whole bunch of new designs and stuff coming out. And again, get their hoodies, get their sweatshirts. They're incredibly comfortable. They got cool t-shirts. They got like 3/4 length sleeves. They even got stuff for the ladies.
They have stuff. They have stuff for actual gameplay.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. They have, so listen, if you didn't get something for your girl on Valentine's Day, hustle up, get something. You get yourself 30% off. Make her feel a little better at the end of the week when you get that shipment. And look what I got you. It's on the volley. And they're like, yo, isn't this the same thing Alexis and Christian wear? And then you watching them when I'm not around? And then you can have an argument because how much the girl loves us.
You sort that out. Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, we're not trying to ruin any relationship or marriage.
Fault.
It's not our fault.
We're too pretty.
But make sure, go to onthevolleyapparel.com, onthevolleyapparel.com, and use the promo code COOLAGAINS, and you'll get 30% off.
So 30% off.
It's a great deal. So do that right now.
Yeah, everybody.
Oh, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that lovely talk with Juani.
What a great guy.
What a great dude. Yeah, like I think the thing that, and I hope people listening noticed was one, Juan's comment about like being at the All-Star game as the only player with personality. Shots have been fired.
Oh, yeah. That's his sheather right there. Speaking of. Yeah, no, he basically said, and I kind of agree.
Yeah.
You know, we've met some of these folks. And the other thing is also his level of comfort with us. It just clearly goes to show.
We're best friends.
That we are absolutely best friends. I mean, we might as well make like bracelets or something, you know, at this point.
That's right. That was cool. It was cool to talk to. Look, we haven't spoken to that many players.
No.
You know, we had a long conversation with Jack Harrison.
Right. I would say we are really good at building camaraderie and rapport with most players.
Sure. When you say most,
can you guess which one I mean as an exception?
Look, I don't want to pat ourselves in the back just yet. I mean, like,
we're pretty good.
We're amazing, everybody.
I mean, come on. We're building friendships, long lasting friendships.
That's right. We're gonna be. Next to each other's hospital beds, just like
holding hands.
Where you just be together forever. It's just gonna be like just like the end of a movie.
So now we're just waiting for, I guess, the barbecue invite from some of these players, whether it's Jack or Juan.
This is really cool for us, and I know we joke around a lot, but like, look, again, we have to remind everyone, we're just a pair of dumb comedians.
We're stupid, stupid comedians,
and you know, professional athletes were like, "Hey, yeah, I'll call into the Cooligans," and
which is ridiculous,
which is absurd. So I just don't get it. Don't be mistaken.
Yeah,
we're just a bunch. We're just dickheads at comedy clubs.
Yeah,
we went to a soccer game.
We're stupid, stupid comedians,
and we were like, "Hey, let's talk about this on a podcast."
And it seems to be working.
So,
you know what? And beyond this, the fact, you know what, friends, I really care about most is all the friends that we've made that listen to our podcast.
Okay, I thought you were going to say me, but... Okay,
well, no, whatever. I mean, obviously our friendship blossomed, if you will. But just some of the friends that we've made, I mean, you know, friggin' Dave, you know?
Dave
first and foremost. I mean, I talked to that guy more than I talked to my wife over text, you know? And he came with us to MLS Cup as our videographer. Right. You know, shit like that. That's the kind of shit. Shouts to Dave.
Kirby, Igor, who we've never even met.
Come on, Yusef always hit me up whenever we do something stupid.
It is cool, yeah. You know? The people... People care about what we're doing here. So
yeah, and there's one of them calling you right now, you know?
This was a proud moment for us. That was really
very
cool.
Very much so. We're going to have more of this.
That's right. So, we're going to slide into more DMs. We're going to...
Hell yeah.
Hit up these guys. We got to keep following the pattern of just accosting players at parties.
That's it. What we're going to do is we're going to find you at parties and we're going to corner you.
Literally,
most of you are going to be cool about it.
We're going to box you in, mm-hmm. right into the corner. I mean, it's going to be so like coordinated. You're going to be like, are these guys doing a set piece on me?
Yeah. Wow. This is from the training ground.
So it was going to be that coordinated. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. So for our, this is the last segment of today's show. So, you know, we'll, we haven't done this maybe for a little while, but Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner, everybody. Corner. You know, where we just do some rapid fire stories, some of the stuff. Pow, pow, pow. A little, this, right now we need the Soldier Boy interview on Vlad TV.
Yeah.
Pow, pow, pow.
Wait, I pulled his mask off. I knew who it was. It's my favorite. He made a track with that.
That is a nightmare.
What did he say? He was, I'm in the shower. And then I hop out the shower and I grab the Draco. Oh, so you have a... You have a Romanian AK-47
hanging on the shower.
Yeah,
with the towel.
Are you in the Israeli army? Why do you have a gun?
If you don't know what we're talking about, if you haven't seen this Soldier Boy Vlad TV interview, it is insane.
It's wild.
It is insane. It's him.
Just remember, we said it's Soldier Boy, not like a member of the, like, you know, a reputed gang member. I mean, this is Soldier Boy.
It's him, you know, recounting a story. But it sounds like the screenplay to Taken 4.
I was gonna say, if you think Soldier Boy is telling a story, or if you've never heard it before, you're gonna think he's reading the script for a Liam Neeson movie.
It is insane. It's so crazy, but it's very, very funny. So the one thing we didn't get to talk about, we didn't talk about last week because it hadn't happened yet.
Right.
But obviously, a big story. You've heard it.
This is massive.
Claudio Ranieri sacked as a manager of Leicester City after...
You and I actually haven't really talked about this.
We have not at all.
What do you think about this? Because this people are going nuts.
It's disgusting.
Really?
Yeah. I mean...
I thought I saw it coming. You knew this was going to happen.
It's definitely... It comes into play, the possibility of letting him go. Because if they were winning, this wouldn't happen. If they were in fourth place right now... Even if they were in 10th place right now, this wouldn't have happened.
Sure.
But
apparently this was the players doing. This was a player revolt.
There's a lot of rumors.
Which apparently that's not a good, I mean, people are like, you know, they think of them as like snakes and shit. You know what I mean? Like this is bad.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, this is always a, you know, people always like after somebody, the manager gets sacked, you sort of try to decide what side you're on, you know,
right.
and should we support the player still? It seems like the fans, especially after the you know, crushing Liverpool 3-1 yesterday, nobody really feels as bad for Ranieri. I mean,
right, that washed some of the ill.
Because if they lost, then it would have just been the same. You know, we could have continued losing with Ranieri here. It emotionally, it feels like the wrong decision. There's no way. I don't know who could argue that.
I was just about to.
it feels wrong, but
it does feel dirty. But
and they weren't even in the relegation zone yet when they let him go.
The toughest part about it is that they got a good result in the first leg. They lost, but they got the away goal.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't really walk away from that and feel too bad.
In the, that was the Champions League.
Champions League.
Who did they play again? I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on.
Who did Leicester play?
Not Sevilla. Was it Sevilla?
It was Sevilla.
Sevilla.
Yes.
Yeah, who I'm pulling for.
Yeah.
I think Sevilla could win the whole thing.
So
people think I'm crazy, but you know how much I love Sampaoli. I've been talking about how many. I mean, I think I brought up Sampaoli's name.
I'm almost getting. I get annoyed every time you say his name. That's how much you bring him up.
I bring him up. So much. Please, like, can I just say this real quick? I know this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We'll go back to it. Although this is about managers, Arsene Wenger.
Yes,
walk away.
Okay,
everyone, Kroenke, Gazidis, all of you guys, hire Sampaoli because he was the team. He was the manager of what national team?
Spain.
Chile. And who is the amazing forward from the Chile national team?
No, but they don't have anybody that's good.
Come on. What's his name? It's the same as mine.
Alexis Sanchez.
That's right. So Arsenal fans, if you want to keep Alexis and you want him to be happy, you do two things.
Doesn't he look quite miserable?
Oh my God, he looks I feel bad for him.
Even while he's like burying like three goals in a game, he's like, I'm not happy.
Yeah, no, he's not happy. If you want Alexis to stay, you have to do two things. You get his homie Vidal out of Bayern.
Which
would be easy to do if you also bring in his favorite national team head coach/manager.
Would it be easy? I don't know.
Jorge?
After the
motherfucking Sampaoli.
After the whipping that Arsenal received from Bayern Munich, why would Vidal want to get out of there?
Supposedly Vidal is on the outs and he's up there in age. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not true. Maybe I'm making that up. But, you know, there is a rumor that he would be willing to move to go play with Alexis.
So we'll get back to Ranieri in a second. Yeah. But I do want to talk about this. Arsenal did lose to Bayern 5-1.
5-1 again
last week.
Anniversary.
Yeah, you didn't go to the you didn't go to the game. You didn't go see the game because you went to the Napoli.
I went to that, which everyone saw the video.
Yes, yeah. Everyone. But well, some people
the whole world.
So we have a video of Alexis went to instead of it was
I tried
it was
to break the curse.
It was some sorcery that you were trying to.
So every year I do the same thing. I put on my kit, I go to the pub, and I watch my team lose. Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't want that to happen, so I thought, what if it's me?
Yeah.
What if I could put on a different team's kit?
It's not you. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah. That's what I said. I called Wenger on the phone, and I said, it's not you. It's me. I knew who it was. Love that video. So I decided I got invited to a Napoli match to go see the, you know, Napoli at a big Naples style Italian pizza restaurant, which mm-hmm. we do on the pizza store. Everyone loves it, right? It's a great place. So I thought, here we go. This is going to break the curse. Last year we lost 5-1. I said, this is what I'm going to do. And guess what? We're not going to lose 5-1. And not only did we lose, we lost 5-1. So I not only did I not break the curse.
Just deja vu. Yes.
I got nothing to do with it, which actually at the end of the day makes me feel good. It's not me.
It does feel pretty good. Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with me.
It's literally the same exact result. Yeah. Whether you're there, whether you're not, whether you're alive or dead, it's just going to be.
And look, we've had the 8-2 against Manchester United, the 5-1. I mean, there's been moments where other managers would not have survived this. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not an Arsene Wenger out guy, but I think he has to leave at the end of the season. He's not going to. He said he was going to coach next year. Another season of the same shit. And we're going to lose all these players. And maybe he's going to go out, find better ones. Who knows?
This is my take on them just getting crushed that badly. When I look at Arsenal, when I watch Arsenal in the Premier League, they are a good side. Yeah, occasionally there's going to be some sort of upsets, but the expectation is pretty high. But when you look at the kind of players that Arsene Wenger brings in year after year compared to the kind of players that Bayern Munich brings in year after year. It seems like Arsenal is happy with the foundation of players that they have, but they don't bring in big guns year after year.
You can't say that. No, not year after year. Yeah, you're right then. Because we did bring in Mesut Ozil. We spent, what, £45 million on him?
Yes.
We spent a grip on Alexis Sanchez. But you're right. But the supporting cast.
Granit Xhaka, Lucas Perez, these are not Robert Lewandowski and, Arjen Robben. They're not those guys.
No.
But
Granit Xhaka is a great player.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But they're good for the Premier League. When it comes to Europe, it seems like Arsenal's not really going to get anywhere unless they go out and, I guess, spend. I mean, I don't know what else.
Look, if you look at the teams that win outside of one year, which is when Leicester won the Premier League, if you look at the teams that win the Champions League and you look at the team that win the Premier League and you look at all those, it's the ones who spend.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, we have to sort of look at, you know, this is the argument against modern football. Those guys don't want this. They want it to be about skill and they want it to be about, you know, how good of a team you are and how well, you know, disciplined you are. They want it to be about that, like the old days. It's not that anymore. It hasn't been that since the mid-2000s. Here we are. You know, when I was a kid and I watched soccer, it was fun because, you know, the who had what player wasn't really as important as who was playing well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're watching it and we know the players. We already know the players that are great. And when they decide to go somewhere, we know what's going to happen. And it generally happens. There are some instances where that doesn't exactly happen. Not to say his name again, because at this point, I'm pretty much a fucking fanboy.
Please don't say his name.
I'm going to say it. But if you look at what's happened at Sevilla with Jorge Sampaoli and Zanzi, who came from Stoke. This guy was a tall, physical player. He played at Stoke. Stoke. Stoke is basically, sorry about that, everyone. Stoke is basically a Champions League. Not a Champions League. I'm sorry. They're basically an NFL team, you know? Stoke at that point was like just rough and tumble. They didn't have any skill.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And he takes in Zonzi and he makes him into what a lot of people would consider the best midfielders in La Liga.
That's right.
And then he takes Samir Nasri, who was out. He was out. He was on the outs at Manchester United, at Manchester City, blah, blah, blah. He was past it. And now look at him. He's one of the best players. This is what I'm saying. There's very few instances. It's the people that spend. If we're not going to spend, then go out and get someone who can make a major difference with a limited amount of players and money. What's his name?
Sampi.
Yeah. Well, that is that Profe Sampe is what, that's they, call what they call him.
Okay. So, back to Claudio Ranieri.
I think his time came, you know,
I mean, it's just sad. There's no way it's not sad.
It's not, because he's going to be remembered for what he did last year. He's not going to be remembered for this. he was an asterisk.
Well, he was always known as like the guy who could never sort of get that championship, always getting close.
He was like a really nice guy, and you know, he failed at Chelsea.
It was just,
but then Mourinho came in, and you know what? Look at it honestly. If you look at what happened to Leicester 2 years ago, they were close to losing. They get rid of that, what's his name, Neil something,
Nigel Pearson.
That's it. They get rid of Nigel Pearson. Here comes Ranieri, and all of a sudden, by the way, Nigel Pearson's the one that brought him up to the Premier League, yeah. And he got them up. Right, and this is great.
So, yeah.
So then he comes in, and what do? He saves the end of the season, and that momentum carries to the next season, and they win again. If the same thing is going to happen, they're going to win next year. Because they're saving themselves from the drop. This new Shakespeare comes in, saves them from the drop, and then boom, next year they're going to go on this crazy run. He's going to score. Vardy's going to score in the first 11 matches. That's exactly what they did with Ranieri. So I don't understand what everyone's flipping out about. They did the exact same thing.
It's just because people have hearts, and they feel bad for this man.
No one felt bad for Nigel Pearson.
I think a lot of people felt bad for Nigel. A lot of people were angry because he kept them up after they were close to being relegated.
Well, no, he left, and the next Ranieri kept them up.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
No. Nigel Pearson.
No, it was Nigel Pearson was the one who kept them in the league the year prior.
The year prior,
they were last. They were out, and they won like nine of the last 10 or 11, and. Then, so everybody was very happy that Nigel Pearson kept them in the league, and then he was sacked right after that, and Claudio Ranieri was brought in.
Right, that's true. Okay. But nonetheless, this is the exact same thing they did, essentially.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, you're seeing that just at Leicester, they're like, you know, what have you done for me lately? They don't know. They don't, like, if you're not winning, they're like, they don't know you.
No, I don't know who that is. But you won some last year, what? Dog?
I mean, my mind is like, I think I had the Alexis flu.
Yeah, I don't remember last year at all. I mean, I threw that FIFA game away. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Who was
about.
On the cover? I don't know.
I don't remember. Who was on the cover? Was it George Best? How long ago was this? You know what
I mean? That seems to be what was going on at Leicester, where they're maintaining a high standard. But again, there were a lot of rumors that some of the players were not happy with Ranieri. You know, for a long time, I just sort of thought like, oh, Conte's not there. He seemed to be like the crux of what sort of kept the team together in the midfield.
Yeah.
But it seems like there were bigger problems than just that. A lot of people are saying,
although this Liverpool match could have been just momentum. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just feel good about yourself.
And also, you know, second half of the season, Liverpool is just, they basically have cement on their feet.
I think actually they're being trained by Ranieri, to be honest.
So that's another Liverpool. They were what? They were like in second place at some point. They might've been first at some point.
I don't know what the definition of this word is, but it feels right. They're capitulating.
They're capitulating. Well, yeah, that's surrendering, essentially.
Okay, is that what that means? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's another word for
it. It feels like it means like it's falling apart, because that's kind exactly of, yeah. What's happening. Yeah,
yeah. And, but this happened last season, even
Klopp.
With Klopp. Yeah. You know, I guess what people are suggesting that he sort of trains too hard, or the gegenpressing is what makes them not last throughout the year.
You know, when he came in, he was surprised that the English fans were so enamored with gegenpressing. He's like, why do you guys care so much about this? He's like, it's not that big of a deal.
I don't know. I think
it's like, that's why you're hired, homie.
I think anytime somebody says a German is coming to England to be incredibly offensive and aggressive, they're like, we better read up on this.
I know. I feel like they planned this one time.
Yeah.
Well, so, then the American owners of Liverpool come in to help.
Right? And save the day. Exactly.
I do that all the time when I have Brits on the pizza tour. I was like, you know, I don't know if you remember, we beat Italy in World War II, and I turn around and I go, you're welcome. And they always hate it. They always hate it.
Oh boy. So look, I personally feel so sad because, you know, everybody was talking about throughout last year.
Do you want Ranieri to be the coach of Everton?
Of Everton? No.
Okay. Then you don't feel that bad.
Yeah. Everton's won like, they're like an 11 game, like they haven't lost in like 11. They're having a pretty good they can't move out of seventh place because...
Well, yeah. I mean, what's his, you know, United's been in sixth, no matter what's going on.
So that's basically what's going on. But they're keeping up. So that's been great.
How annoying is it that the Brits say sixth?
Sixth.
No, they say sixth.
Sixth, which I don't know why.
Right? It's like you spelled it S-I-C-T-H. Sixth.
Okay.
That's annoying as hell. Sixth.
Yeah. And they also do Z. Is that England or that's Australia?
Canada does that too.
Canada Z.
You know what else Canada does that really annoys me? Mazda.
Mazda. What is that? What
as
is
opposed
that?
To Mazda.
Oh, yeah. That's
the car. They say Mazda.
It's not good.
Ugh. Not there's good. An A there.
Stop it.
Ugh.
Stop it right now.
I know. Come on, Canada.
Enough of this.
Canada. Mazda. What are you doing?
Mazda.
We let Looney and Toonie go, which is what you call your money, right?
Oh, that's what they call it? I didn't know that either.
Their $2 coin is called a Toonie.
Well, okay, it just sounds like a racial slur, so please stop it. Right, stop it right now.
But against who, exactly?
We don't know.
I'm not sure who you're trying to offend, but I'm offended on their behalf.
So, I was going to say, like, last year, Leicester City, that whole thing, everybody was talking about who's going to play Jamie Vardy in the movie of Leicester City, and now
the ending of that movie, mad boring, you know?
The ending of, like, this movie, it has to, you know, whatever Disney film they make, like,
right.
Do you believe in miracles? Like, if they do that for Leicester City, that
in a world,
the final caption after they're celebrating better be the damn Taiwanese owners of Leicester City were like, oh, Ranieri, no, even though you provided us this great dream, we still had to let him go.
It's like the first movie is like Rocky. The second movie is a horror film. what is it? King Power Stadium 2.
It's just cold. That's all. It's just cold. But you got to do what you got to do.
It's business.
It's business.
It's business.
Exactly.
You can't take that shit to the heart. It's business.
So
you going to soft on me now, Ranieri? Get your goddamn pizza and get out of here.
Well, there's a couple things in MLS, then we'll wrap this up. This is obviously the season is starting on Friday. We're very excited about it.
This is it. This is a big one.
But just a couple days ago, there was a big move between Orlando City and Vancouver.
Yeah, speaking of finding out about Canadian customs, Giles Barnes.
Giles Barnes from the Vancouver Whitecaps.
And also Jamaica national team.
Yeah, but originally he started the season with the Houston Dynamo.
Houston Dynamo, yeah.
Then got sent over to Vancouver.
A lot of skill, a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. Big move. He's going to Orlando. And from Orlando to Vancouver, another former men's national team player that seems to be on the outs, Breck Shea.
Breck Shea, yeah. So you may not see this very much in, obviously you don't see it in other leagues, like official trades.
Yeah, they don't do player for player swaps very often. Sometimes they'll do that to hit like certain value numbers.
Sometimes they sell players like if they, as like a, oh, we'll give you this player if you sell us this player.
Yeah.
Like, so that happens occasionally. But no, so the one-for-one trade between Breck Shea and Giles Barnes. And my initial take, Orlando is clearly the winning side here.
I mean, if Breck Shea can get back to his pre-Stoke move form, I'm not so sure.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because Breck has the ability to play a forward, a midfielder, or a defender, or a wing. He can play up and down that wing.
And he was playing as a defender for Orlando.
Yeah.
Left back or right back, I don't remember which exactly. But, and you know, he provided, he had that one goal off the outside of the foot. I forget.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was like a buzzer. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. So look, we know what he's capable of, but sort of right now thinking of Orlando sort of attacking with Giles Barnes.
Yeah.
Kaká, Barnes,
Lauren,
Kyle Lauren.
And who's that other dude? The Molino.
Molino.
Guy, he went
to Minnesota.
Minnesota for a lot.
But even those three still, it's still pretty like tough, tough attacking, you know,
especially
players.
When you have Kyle Lauren and Kaká. I mean, those players, both of them are great.
Yeah. As far as it looks like, Orlando gave up a little defense for offense.
Yeah.
But the offense does seem a little bit, you know, scary at this point.
But also, you know, Breck Shea was more of a wing back, if anything. I don't think he was really that great defensively. What I love about Breck, what I remember him when he was at FC Dallas, was his attitude. I always thought he had the right attitude to play in a city like New York, you know, even back then before we really had a team. He had that, like...
He could fit in well with the goth community and his big pants.
Yeah, with those stupid big pants. you know, right now he's going to buy the world's largest snowboarding pants. He's going to Vancouver and Whistler. But, you know, he had one of those guys that, like, if you came up to him, he would, like, push you. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't one of those guys that let you get in his head. And maybe that was, maybe people would get under his skin for sure, but he just wasn't one of the, he wasn't soft in any way, shape, or form. He was willing to push and be he was his own man. And I love that. He ran with that attitude. He had that type of sort of tough, like, you're not going to knock me off this ball. And I love that about him. But he's another one of those players that also has, like, a lot of outside, you know, influences, you know, like he's an artist and, you know, he's just one of those dudes that's doing too much, not enough footballing.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think,
do you think that's an issue?
With Breck?
Just with players, you know, these outside sort of, you know, interests.
I feel like with MLS, that's like the least thing I would be concerned about just because they, because just in general, they're not giving that much attention where like they can go to nightclubs and nobody know who they are. Nobody's going to like, they're going to be like, right. Hey, I'm Breck Shea. Can I get in the VIP? Like who? Get out of my,
I don't give a shit what religion you are. Get up out of here. Like, no, it's my name.
You're going to buy two bottles like you're supposed to because I don't know who you are.
Hey, yo, does anyone know a player named Donka Shane? He's like, no, I said it's Breck Shea.
So in general, yeah, I'm not super concerned with it. And there's something to me about soccer players, especially American soccer players, that, I don't know, it doesn't lend itself too easily to, like, some crazy party lifestyle or... I don't know. You just don't see those guys. I don't know. I'm sure there's clearly some that may enjoy doing coke off of hookers or whatever, but it's not a thing. You don't hear about it. I can't imagine who that would even be. You know, that could be that nuts.
Yeah. I don't know. I would love it if that was the case though. It'd be great.
I'm just, who's
the biggest bad boy?
Or who would be like the first person, if you could think of someone doing cocaine off a stripper, who would be the first person that comes to mind?
Kyrie Sheldon.
I would, no.
The three-way photo what brings that up.
No, I don't think so. I think he seems like such an innocent boy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy.
He's a nice kid. I can't imagine him.
Who's like a just a debaucherous DP?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe Jermaine Jones?
Yeah.
The closest?
But I don't see him as a coke guy. I see him as like wake up early and go to the gym.
Okay.
Insane. Like that's the insanity in him is like, no matter how late he's at the club.
Shoots up testosterone.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you have any suggestions though.
Yeah, guys listening.
Who would be the first MLS player caught doing cocaine?
Yeah. Which of all the players could we all come up with one that we agree is the biggest blowhead?
Yeah. Like someone who could live that life. If he heard it tomorrow.
You know who? You know who?
Who?
Just based on how fucked up his head always looks and just how messed up he's always looking. Mancuso.
Mancuso from Montreal?
Yeah, that dude looks like he never sleeps.
Mancosu. Okay, yeah.
That dude looks like he never sleeps.
Sure. He sort of looks like a foreign villain from a Die Hard movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? No, he looks like one of the guys who took Liam Neeson's daughter.
Yeah,
he looks like one of those guys. Mancosu looks like he's always just like a about to rip a bender.
Maybe, yeah, I could see that.
Or Dos Santos. Dos Santos looks like the club kid.
Gio. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, come on, let us know.
There's something, I don't know what it is about our American soccer athletes that nobody, this is another thing.
Yeah, Landon Donovan don't look like he ever did blow.
Yeah.
Landon Donovan never grinded his teeth.
I want to make a joke about Juan Agudelo being, but I'm like, nah.
Yeah, he's just on the podcast.
We just talked to him. We don't want to.
He's also Colombian. If anything, he's moving the stuff. You know what I mean? He knows not to get high off your supply.
But there's something, look, and we were even talking about it before, about like American soccer athletes not really expressing themselves, not expressing their personality.
And so, this is how you want them to do it? Yeah. Get out there and do some blow.
But that's
you'd be the worst PR person.
They don't show anything. They don't even show enough for us to even presume what kind of person they might be.
Right, 100%.
So right now we're just like kind of, look, it's not, if I said, what NBA player would you find, like, we could come up with like 40.
Yeah. That's, are you kidding me?
NFL.
We could fill the roster of three different teams with the people that are blowheads.
Exactly. So that's the thing. It's like, there should be a little bit more expression amongst the MLS players.
Right. Maybe don't listen to Christian on how you express yourself.
Exactly. Look, I don't get paid to do this. I don't get paid to give you.
It's free advice.
It's free advice.
This is free advice. from Christian Polanco.
So it's worth $0. So yeah. don't
or it's worth some time in jail if you're willing to spend there.
Correct.
All right. We said we were going to say bye like 5 minutes.
That's
ago.
Right. The last thing I wanted to just very quickly, the new TAM rule.
Oh, that's right.
That
just for homegrown players. Yeah.
So now we start the segment with Coke, and now we go to just like real fiduciary details about the MLS.
Speaking of blow, this is going to blow your mind. Two new roster spots.
So this is interesting because you talk about this a lot. Alexis always mentioned this about academy.
Sampaoli.
About Sampaoli.
If Sampaoli started his own academy in New York, my head would explode. No, but I am. I'm always talking about homegrown players and building the academy. And
it's the SAM rules, the Sampaoli rules.
Sampaoli allocation money.
Yeah, everybody gets a little bit. Yeah.
Hey, Sampaoli.
But this is interesting. So now MLS teams can use targeted allocation money to sign homegrown players
that have never had MLS contracts.
Correct. So
every roster grew by two spots. Those two spots are just for homegrown players.
So this is it's an MLS commitment to young players to their academies to growing talent in America. And also with this new rule for the targeted allocation money for the homegrown players, this is more incentive for American players to stay in their country and sign for an MLS club.
Right. And also it gives you a bit more of a chance to get in the first team if you are in the academy, because that could be tough. I mean, we're seeing it now with NYCFC has that Sands kid who looks great, but are you really going to eat up a roster spot with a 16-year-old defender?
Correct. Yeah.
Even if it's, those positions are probably not going to get a lot of game time anyway. They're not going to get a lot of minutes, but it's a great time. It's a great opportunity to develop, in training with some amazing players.
Yeah.
If you have some big DPs.
So yeah, this is exciting. And this is a move in the right 100%, direction.
100%.
So, we talk about this all the time. And now
I figured out who the blowhead is. The kid. Speaking of homegrown players.
Sebastian.
Who's the kid they got drafted by Red Bulls who came out hot?
Oh, I forgot his name.
Zico.
Lewis?
Zico. Yo, Zico. That's a blowhead. Just angry. Like, I'll tell you nothing. On dudes who didn't, all the motherfuckers who didn't draft me. Wait till you see. Quick, grab a pencil. I think I got a good idea for app.
Yeah.
It's app for people who didn't draft me. Is that the cops?
Just so they know. It's like Tinder, but every time you swipe, it's always a picture of Zico Lewis.
Yeah.
You can't swipe left or right.
It's different. Upset at you. What now? Looks like. What about now? Oh yeah. What now? You still didn't draft me, dog.
So yeah. So congrats MLS. Giving a little love to your to
and congrats every one of them academies. Keep training hard.
Do it. So again, thank you, Juan Agudelo, for being on today's show. This was this was great. Thank you. You were
this is a long one, but thank you so much for being on it.
It was awesome. We had a good time. So thank you for listening, everybody.
Calling us from the R8, from the Audi R8.
You know how we do.
Just pushing.
Make sure a couple things, make sure you, if you like this podcast and you like what we do, make sure you tell people, share it, send it to your friends, say, hey, you New England Revolution fans listening to this, like, hey, I heard these guys on this podcast. Our striker was on the show. Let me send it to some of, my friends, my supporters.
Please
groups.
Do.
That'd be really cool.
Please do. Especially since, he was mentioning a lot about the New England Revolution. He seems really excited about the season. I'm excited to see what he can do. Let's get him in that all-star game. Yeah. Let's do as we promised, guys. Would love to see Colombiano out there.
That would be nice.
Straight jersey. So, pushing it.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, which we do a bunch of videos every single week.
Another one coming out this Friday. FIFA the News is back.
Do it, guys. And you guys are the best.
Who are you?
I'm Christian Polanco.
You know who I am? I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together,
what are we?
The Cooligans!